This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. Coming up, we'll have Keith Tracy analysing St Pat's 1-1 draw with Waterford. Donal Ryan will join us from the showgrounds where Sligo Rovers and Dundalk drew 1-1. We'll hear from Damien Duff following their 1-0 defeat away to Galway United. And ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara was at Dalyman Park where Bowes beat Drogheda by 1-0. We'll also have a First Division roundup. We'll start though at the Ryan McBride Brandywell where Derry City lost 3-1 to Shamrock Rovers. But it's not just the football, unfortunately, that we have to address yet again. Barry Murphy, formerly of St Pat's Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers, was watching the game from the comfort of home. But Gareth McGlynn, formerly of Derry City and Bohemians, was at the game. He was covering it for RTE. Gareth, unfortunately, we're talking about pyro again. What happened?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, Oisín, to be honest with you, because I tell you what, up until that time, I thought it was a good game. Two teams going at each other. There seemed to be a pyro came onto the pitch. It didn't strike anyone. I think it just missed Dara Burns. And then subsequently, if that wasn't bad enough, you had what looked maybe of a kid of 10, 11, 12 years of age, runs onto the pitch, picks up the pyrotechnic and runs halfway across the pitch unchallenged with one of these pyros red in his hand, which, as we know, are so dangerous and they can explode at any minute. If that explodes in that young fella's hand, he loses his hand and possibly a little bit of his arm as well. I mean, it just wasn't a good look at all. Really, really damaging to the league for Derry City. It didn't look good. We've seen the precedent that has been set from the Shelburne incident. So God knows what the FAI are going to do now.
Barry, what was your view of the incident watching from home?
Yeah, listen, there's a throw-in down in the bottom left-hand corner and you suddenly there's a flare on the pitch and it's burning through the astro. But what it seemed to be, the camera kind of panned around to the wall behind that kind of the dugout area down there, and there seemed to be stuff coming over from behind the wall there. I know there's a road kind of right behind that stand. There seemed to be stuff coming from over it, and the word from around there seems to be that it came over from that direction, but it's hard to know. But listen, around it's kind of a nuanced thing up there at the moment. Like, it has been for a while with security around the Brandywell. I'm talking outside the ground. For years, it's been horrendous, the security. I think every set of away supporters has had issues with objects being thrown at them at one stage or another, and supporter buses as well. And a couple of times I've been up there myself and been on team buses and the windows have been smashed in. So it's not a new thing. But listen, as I said, it's nuanced. There's a lot of detail around the security around there, and it's not just the Derry city stewards and things that have to look after it. It goes way beyond that. But yeah, it's not a good look for the league and what was a really entertaining game itself.
And Gareth, at the end of the game, I'm led to believe that Shamrock Rovers fans had to be guided onto the pitch. Can you give us an indication as to why that was, or what the vibe was, what the atmosphere was?
Yeah, there seemed to be a few fans behind that stand. Again, fans that weren't in the stadium. So fans that either didn't get into the stadium because they weren't allowed, they hadn't got a ticket, that were throwing things over the wall onto the Shamrock Rovers fans. And the stewards did the right thing. They took them out of harm's way, brought them onto the pitch, waited till it settled down, and then escorted them out of the ground and back to their buses. Yeah. But again, the pyrotechnics is just something that really, to me, there needs to be an education program run out by the clubs. So I think the League of Ireland have got to kind of set the precedent here and set the tone and roll it out to the clubs for them to roll it out to the fans, because for a 9 or a 10 or 11 year old to grab one of these things and run for 40 yards with it in his hands, I mean, it's so, so dangerous. I don't think people realize that inside these things, there is an explosive element to them. And if that explodes in your hand, then it literally blows half your hand off. They need to be sat down and shown these videos of people that have had either facial damage, burns to their hands, burns to their faces, and then pictures of actual hands being blown off. So that to me is the biggest problem. There needs to be an education program run out.
The trouble is that people may not listen, because they should be fully aware of the dangers of pyrotechnics at this stage. And just to address what Barry was saying there, and I don't think he's sensationalizing or anything like that. Obviously there have been issues. is there issues around Derry City generally? And I appreciate why you cannot really get the PSNI involved in match days. And look, there's all sorts of reasons for that we don't have to go into now. But are there issues that need to be addressed generally around Derry City?
I think there's antisocial behaviour and disruption at all the grounds. I don't think it's just Derry City. I think home and away, all the grounds, we've hearing about it all the time, whether it's in Tala, in Richmond, in Dalymount, or at Talcott. I mean, it's just, it seems to be, even on Dundalk last year and the year before it, there was bad trouble. It just seems to be getting out of hand. I don't know. I agree with you, the PSNI and the Brandywell, you can't really get them involved. I think it's up to the club to sort it out, and each club individually, especially when games are held at their grounds, it's up to them to ensure the safety of the home supporters and also the away supporters. So I think it falls with each club.
Yeah, and I have to say, anytime I've been to Derry, I've really enjoyed it. By and large, a great atmosphere. I am not unaware of the things that you mentioned, Barry, and the issues there. But I just think it's fair to say that Derry, they do so much right, but there are things that need to be tweaked. And as you said, Gareth, probably all clubs, or most clubs, or many clubs, could do it looking at certain things around this. Barry, would you like to see, do you think now stadium bans, home stadium bans, have to come in for pyro issues? And I appreciate that not every issue is the exact same. So this incident tonight, as we speak, wasn't the same as what happened in Weavers Park when Dermot Broughton was hit by a smoke bomb or a flare or whatever it was. And it wasn't the same as what happened in Richmond Park when Cian Byrne was struck by one of his own fans with a flare.
Yeah, listen, it all has to be taken on its own merits, each case. Like, you can't really legislate for somebody throwing stones or whatever it was over the wall in Derry tonight. You know, Derry look after the stewards. They do everything they can to get in stadium right. And probably the only thing you can do is a road closure outside to really kind of cordon off the whole area. I know they do it around Tala Stadium. The kind of road, Whitestown Way, is totally closed off. But that's all down to the guards as well. As you said, it is nuanced with the PSNI as well. But listen, they're small enough, these things, where you can smuggle them in. And like, if you're going to punish a club for somebody smuggling this in and the steward not being able to find it, like, where does that lead to? Where does that end? You know, it's down to people having a bit of common sense as well, and stopping your mate doing it who's bringing an image, you going, this is going to cost our club. It might cost you, as we've seen this week, you might never be able to come back in and watch a football game again. You know, it's just stupid stuff. It's, as Gareth said, it's all about education at this stage. You sit it down and at the very least, you're ruining the game, you're ruining the spectacle for spectators. But on the other side of it, it could cause serious injury.
Finally on this, because I do want to talk about the football, Gareth, would you be in favour of stadium bans, or what way would you look at it? As in home stadium bans?
No. I don't believe that the fans should be, the vast majority of the fans, the 98%, should be punished for the 2%. I'm not in that. There's a short-term kind of strategy that needs to be implemented, and a long-term strategy. And the long-term strategy is education of how damaging these things are. I think they've got to be a controlled measure with these pyrotechnics. You see it all over Europe and even in America with stadiums, that they have flares or some sort of pyrotechnics on the pitch that the fans can enjoy. They shouldn't have to, the fans shouldn't have to smuggle them in themselves for them to be able to create the atmosphere. The club have got to get involved.
And the big problem is, unfortunately, in this jurisdiction, pyro is illegal. Now, you do see those big fireball things, well, fire stream things at Six Nations games. So I think maybe they could use those. I know that in your jurisdiction, it's slightly different for pyro, so maybe it is possible there. But as I was saying during the week, you know, there's a lot of politicians who follow the League of Ireland. So if we really want to lobby hard enough, we can get them to change the laws. You know, there's nothing stopping us bringing in safe pyro. So I see your point on that, because there is such a thing as safe pyro and cold pyro. So maybe there's a way through. Lads, I do want to talk about the football. Gareth, I'll start with you because you were at the game. Aaron Green scored twice. Richie Towle added a third. Derry scored a goal in injury time. But it was just too little too late. What kind of match was it, Gareth?
It was a good match. The first half was a great match. You had chances at both ends. Both of the best teams in the country going at each other. It was really, really good. Derry started the game well for the first 12 minutes. Rovers then sort of wrestled possession, wrestled control a little bit towards the end of the first half. And then the second half, it was all about Rovers. But in the first half, there was three or four incidents where Rovers nearly got Aaron Green in behind. Derry were playing a high line, and during the transitions, they were trying to get Aaron Green in using his pace, and it almost happened. They missed Richie Toyle missed a chance in the first half. I don't know how he missed it. He was 2 yards out, and he hit the only man on the line. But that was the warning sign, and Derry City did not heed that warning sign. The second half, Aaron Green, in general, could have had four goals. He was put in behind twice, took his goals really well, and then Richie Toyle kind of rounded it off. But Rovers, the second half, it was, I have to say, they were impressive. But I was more disappointed with Derry's second half. I expected at home against the champions to show a bit of drive and a bit of passion and a bit of hunger to go and try and get a winner. It just did not happen. They were very, very disappointing in the second half. And you could see it with the crowd's reaction. I mean, Patrick Hoban comes on and does what he does best. He goes and gets a goal. But they can't be relying on one player. The rest of the players have got to step up. Michael Duffy was very good on the night. But apart from that, Derry just weren't good enough. Too many players let them down on the night. And again, these big games, when it's a good opportunity to put a marker down against the champions, Derry City have failed, basically.
Did Derry City play into Shamrock Rovers' hands, Barry Murphy?
Yeah, listen, they were very good. As Gareth said, first 50 minutes, they were excellent. But you always felt that Derry had to score in that period or the inevitable would happen. You know, Aaron Green, as Gareth said, got in, had a great chance, and the writing was kind of on the wall for them. Then Mullen had a great chance. McMullen hit the bar. Michael Duffy was brilliant. He had Dan Cleary on toast at the start, but he cut back in, got a great shot off. Leon Poles makes an excellent play, but you really felt they had to score at that stage when they were on top. He felt like Rovers were always going to come back into it. And listen, Rovers is still having a hard time scoring early on, but like Stephen Bradley and the staff at halftime are finding the answers and addressing them. Derry seemed to ask all their questions of Rovers in the first half an hour, and that's kind of lately for them. They run out of questions, really, if they don't get joy early on. And that's where Rovers pounce. They kind of lull you into a false sense of security to give the ball away in dangerous positions. And as you said early on, Aaron Green had a great chance in that. And that should have like opened their eyes for Derry. And at the back, it was like cable football at times from Derry to back. Connolly and McElhenney just looked so rigid and slow. And I know it's early enough days in the league, but at the moment, only Drogheda and Dundalk have a worse defence than them this year. So, yeah, like they were always going to give up chances. But again, Rovers tend to give up chances as well. It's just teams aren't taking them against Rovers at the moment, and Rovers punish you inevitably in the end.
Do Derry have defensive issues, Gareth? And if so, why? Because they seem to have good talent at the back.
They do. Well, Derry at the minute, before tonight's game, Derry were the highest scorers in the league. So they didn't have any problems on that side of it, which, to be honest with you, last year was their problem. But defensively, they do have problems. Shane McElhenney came into the game tonight. He hadn't played really all season. Shane's like a Rolls Royce. He's very good on the ball, but he needs games, and he needs three or four games to get him up to match speed. Tonight he just looked, he looked leggy, he didn't look sharp. Connolly looked completely out of position. If you watch the goals backs as well, Dylan Watts gets the ball, basically a carbon copy in both times, and he just plays it down the side of Connolly. And Connolly's too narrow, he's playing on a three, he's got to be standing in the channel that Dylan Watts is finding. Shane McElhenney in the second goal doesn't even put a challenge into Dylan Watts, he just allows him to pass it in behind for Aaron Green to run on. They didn't look good. Again, they're used to playing a four, but they played a three tonight to match up with Rovers. And in fairness, Roy Higgins will probably say, listen, I played a three up in Tala and we were the better team and probably should have won it. But I think at home, playing a three at the back against one player and him getting all the joy, it just doesn't look good. I think when you play a three at home, it's got to be an attacking three, and it just wasn't tonight. And it just did not work for Derry, especially in the second half.
And what did you like about Shamrock Rovers, Barry? You can comment on Derry as well, by the way. I'm aware I'm putting all the Derry questions to Gareth and all the Rovers questions to you. But gentlemen, talk about whatever you want. Keep in mind, I didn't even see this game. I was at Richmond Park.
No, they were just patient. It's what they've done over the last couple of weeks. They've kind of sucked up a lot of pressure. They've kind of listen, it's kind of rope-a-dope kind of stuff at the moment with Shamrock Rovers. They're kind of letting teams have a good few punches at them and seeing what they're doing, where their weaknesses are, and then addressing it. Maybe that's kind of them not scoring in the first half. It's working to their advantage at the moment because they're seeing what teams have to offer and then counter-attacking that in the second half by coming up with the solutions. But yeah, as Gareth said, the back three just didn't look right tonight, coming from a usual back four. It was just body positions really for Aaron Green's goal. He didn't have to do too much. He's come from the right, ran across the front three and ran across the face of him, and it's a great ball by Dylan Watts in between the lines. But to happen again 5 minutes later, it's just criminal. You know, once is bad, but twice is criminal. And Rovers didn't have to do a lot to go and win the game tonight. You know, there you were definitely in it in the first half, and had they taken a chance in the first half, then who knows? But yeah, Rovers at the moment is coming up with the answers.
What approach do you think Derry need to take to the game on Monday night against St. Pat's at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Gardens?
Well, I think they need to start putting a 90 minutes performance together, because this season that's just been lacking. They play for 20 minutes, 30 minutes in games, and they've got enough quality. There's no question in these players. I mean, to me, Shamrock Rovers and Derry City are the two most talented squads. I mean, Shelburne are doing well at the minute. Obviously, they lost again tonight. It's going to be one of those seasons. But to me, Shamrock Rovers and Derry have far better squads and starting 11s than Shelburne. And even tonight, the strength and depth. I mean, Aaron Green is third choice striker for Shamrock Rovers, yet he's got 4 goals in 2 games and basically won both games by himself. So it shows you the depth that they have. Derry are going to have to... I like the way Derry started tonight. I was worried about their start. They'd only got 1 goal in the first half an hour of all 10 games. They just weren't starting games well, and they were allowing teams to get control. So I was glad, I was happy with the start, but then there just seemed to be no... They just didn't come out in the second half. I don't know what happened at halftime, but there was no aggression. Being the home seat side against your better rivals, you've got to go and put your mark down there. And then at least, and this might sound mad, but at least go and kick somebody. I mean, Shamrock Rovers were passing the ball about like it was their home ground. It was like a preseason friendly. They were 3-0 up. I mean, it wasn't good. It wasn't a good look. I would like more passion. I would love to know how many Derry City players got booked for really putting a tackle in or ruffling them up. It just looked a bit too easy for Shamrock.
Are they trying to be something else? Are they trying not to be the tough tackling team? They're trying to be the nice footballing team, and it's just not quite working, or they need to find more of a balance. Is that what's going on?
You need a balance. You cannot win a league just because you've got the best players and technically they're technically good and tactically they're well set up by Rory, but you need that aggression. And Derry City have proven when they get aggressive and when they get angry and when they are high tempo pressing team, they're very good, because they proved it in Europe last year and they proved it in the league last year as well. But we're not seeing it at the minute. I mean, the defeat to Galway at home was absolutely abysmal. The performance by the team was, I can't even, no, granted there was 5 or 6, possibly 7 first team players injured in that game. It doesn't matter. At home against a team that's just been promoted, you've got to put your mark down and at least put a performance in. So that performance and that the second half tonight will be the biggest but disappointing thing for Ray Higgins.
Well, judging from what you're saying there, Pats need to go at it with a bit of intensity, a bit of pace when they come up against Derry on Monday night. Something they didn't do at times tonight, as we speak, against Waterford. Barry, Shamrock Rovers will look to pick up where they left off on Monday night, away to Shelburne at Talca Park. And Shelburne have lost 2 in a row, so they need to bounce back. Now, again, I appreciate you didn't see the Shelburne game tonight, the loss to Galway, but Shamrock Rovers, well, that's a big game as they just look to kick on and kind of get into gear.
Yeah, it's another huge one. They seem to be coming ticking fast now. But it shells look like they made a couple of changes tonight to their usual starting 11 that's done so well for them so far. And they probably don't have the squad to kind of do that. I know it's a Friday Monday thing, but when you look at their squads, they probably don't have the players to go and do that Friday and Monday and rotate their squad that like the likes of Derry and Rovers can do. And Robert's starting to get a few players back now. See, Gaffney came on. Johnny Kenny was there as well. So, like, it's a huge game going into Monday. And Shells needs to stop this rot now fairly quickly, because when winning's a, winning's a habit, losing can be as well, and that's another bad defeat from going into Galway and not picking up a point.
Okay, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time. I'm delighted to talk to you from petrol station forecourt at 11:30 on a Friday night. I'm running out of time on Zoom because I'm too cheap to pay for pro. So we'll wrap it up there. That's Barry Murphy, formerly of St. Pat's, Shamrock Rovers and Bowes, and Gareth McGlynn, who was on the RTE TV coverage, but of course is a regular contributor to the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. And of course, he's part of Off the Balls League of Ireland podcast. And also, Gareth, you have a column in Derry Now, which is always worth a read.
Appreciate it, Oisín. Cheers.
So thanks for joining us. Okay, we're going to go pretty much straight to Richmond Park from the subject of Derry and Shamrock Rovers. Before that, though, let's hear from Derry City manager Rory Higgins, who chatted to the guys on Drive 105 following a disappointing 3-1 defeat at home to Shamrock Rovers.
Rory, tough night here at the Brandywell. First time in a couple of seasons where you conceded three. Crazy second half for Derry.
Aye, a crazy 15-minute period that took the game away from us, absolutely killed us. And up until that point, I thought we were the better team, and we just didn't take our opportunities. And you're not going to win games of football, especially against opposition like that, if you're not ruthless. And they punished us, they were ruthless, that's for sure.
2 weeks in a row, right away at Drogheda last week, second half. Sandra maybe coming out and not performing to the same standard as the first half in both games.
Aye, you could say that. As I said, it's not an acceptable run that we're on at the minute. It's 1-1-6. It's not acceptable. I'm the manager. I take responsibility. But we have to stick together. It's a strange season. We have to stick together. And I've no doubt that we can get back on the horse again and go on a run. And that's what we'll try and do.
Really disappointed with the nature. You can see that Derry were caught open twice in the first half, wide open, but conceding the three then.
All terrible goals. There's no other explanation for it. And we have to do much better going forward.
Rory, what do you say? That's the second home game against Galway, and here tonight against Shamrock Rovers. There are some fans were booing at the end. Have you a message for them?
No, I completely get it. I get the frustration. No one's as angry as me. No one's as and people can say that I come across as this laid back person and I don't show any emotion. But believe me, it's gut-wrenching, and we expect better, and we want to produce better for our supporters, and hopefully we can do that on Monday night. And as I said, the run of form that we're on at the minute isn't acceptable, and we need to try and change it and change it fast.
So you'll work hard. You say you don't lie down. You'll expect bounce back on Monday, and you'll expect a response from your team come Monday.
Yeah.
This is the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and we're in Richmond Park where St. Pat's and Waterford drew 1-1. Asamoah putting Waterford 1-0 up in the first half. A header from Amund from a McCormick corner, McCormick formerly of St. Pat's, of course. And Asamoah was standing just in front of the line and flicked it on beautifully with his heel. Would it have gone in anyway, the header? I'm not sure, but Asamoah made sure. In the second half, St. Pat's got an equaliser when Forrester took a shot. The keeper parried it and Kavanagh poked it home. The Waterford fans off to our far left at the shed end, still singing about 10 minutes maybe after the full-time whistle. They seem happy with the draw. Should they be? Or should Waterford, or could Waterford have won this one? Former St. Pat's and Republic of Ireland player Keith Tracy, who was on LOI TV with me.
Yeah, they definitely could have won it, Oisín. They had the better chances within the game, but I think if you're Waterford, you know, we're all expecting Waterford to go and do great things over the next couple of years within the league. But to come to Inchicore, your first season back in the Premier Division, to come here and get a draw is no mean feat. And they were probably the better team, Oisín. Although the fans are singing over there, I do think a lot of them in the back of their heads would be thinking we could have easily won this.
What did Waterford do right tonight? What impressed you about them?
I thought the way they played, they didn't mess around with the ball in the middle of the pitch. They didn't let Pat shape their press whatsoever. Any sort of bouncing ball, 50-50 in the middle of the park, they just hooked it over to Pat's pressing. Pat's couldn't really press them. If you can't press a team, it's very, very hard to go and get after them. And their shape, when the two banks of four, at times it dropped into a 4-4-2, a 4-5-1, it was really, really good. And they're a defensive team. They can be a defensive team, but with Asamoah, they can transition from a defensive team to an attacking team so quickly. And you see the difference when Keaton comes on once or twice. His touch is not quite there, and the whole move breaks down. When it goes into Padraig Amund, it sticks, and he brings Asamoah into the game, and they get themselves up the pitch. So they're a very good team, Waterford. They won't be turned over easily by a lot of teams.
What did you make of St. Pat's tonight?
A little bit slow, a little bit slow in possession. At times, too many touches. Redmond, Keeley, Turner, all guilty of slow play at times. But I did like when Chris Forrester come on, when Mulroney come on, the tempo seemed to just lift a bit. Keaton at times, he was a target man. Okay, his touch wasn't great, but he was providing that little different option. He was a target man into the box. And when the ball goes into wide areas, Waterford are really, you know, thinking we have to go out and engage now. So it just gave Waterford something different to think about. But what I really want from St. Pat's is a 90-minute performance, Oisin. We've had little bits and bobs there in the second half of showing us. The second half against Shamrock Rovers was brilliant. But what I really want is a 90-minute complete performance.
They now go to St. Pat's or to Derry on Monday night. That's a tough trip. It's about the toughest trip you could get after a disappointing result.
It is. It's a very difficult place to go. And the one thing I will say is, you know, nobody likes going up to that plastic pitch up in Derry. But I actually
think Shamrock Rovers did tonight.
Shamrock Rovers did, yeah. But
I know what you mean.
You know, I don't think it's conducive to good football. And I think when a lot of teams go up there, Derry will try and play football, and you can shape your pressure, you can get after them. And I honestly think when you go up to Derry, it's the team that makes the least mistakes will go and win the game. And that's a very basic view, but I think the pitch really does come into it that much.
Just before I let you go, and I'm throwing this one at you, Mark Canham came out with an update today saying we may not have a manager for quite some time. How frustrating is that for you? And how damaging, potentially, is that when a manager isn't going to be there for ages, has missed a couple of windows now to work with the players, and is pretty much going to go straight into a Nations League campaign?
Yeah, I think the words used are shambolic, embarrassing. It really is getting towards that now. You know, I think Stephen Kenny lost his job in and around November. You know, we're being told we won't have an appointment until September, and we're going straight into, you know, playing probably one of, if not the best team in the world, one of the best teams in the world in England. So any manager coming in is thinking, I'm not going to have a lot of, you know, probably 48 hours with the team to get a bit of shape on it. It's not ideal whatsoever, but we're scratching around, Oisin. We're in a very, very shallow pool. And who's going to be the next manager of the Republic of Ireland? I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, Keith Tracy, formerly of St. Pat's and the Republic of Ireland, thanks for joining us here in Richmond Park, where Waterford and St. Pat's played out a 1-1 draw. We're in the TV gantry at the moment. I'm going to run across and do the post-match interviews now. That will take me a few minutes. But for you listening on the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, you'll hear those interviews right this very second. Keith Long, Waterford manager. A 1-1 draw here at Richmond Park against St. Pat's. Are you happy, or are you a little bit indifferent because that's a game you could have won?
We had the better chances in the game, so I'm disappointed to have dropped 2 points away from home to St. Pat's, which is something in itself, considering that we're a promoted team, adapting to the Premier Division, adapting quite well. But Pat's would be expected to win at home against a newly promoted side. Yeah, we had probably the better chances in the first half that we feel we probably should maybe take advantage of. Pat's had lots of territory, lots of possession. And we knew coming here today, they test you in wide areas, they create overloads down the sides, they get balls into the box, and they'll take shots. And it was from a pot shot, really, that our goalkeeper probably should do better. So we've given up a goal that really, you know, if Sam claims it, if he handles it clean, you know, it doesn't spill out to Brandon Kavanagh. And we defended really well when we're asked to defend. We defended the moments excellently well. So we're disappointed not to come away with the win.
Padraig Amond was excellent again tonight, and I think he even cleared one off the line. He's really leading the line for you, isn't he?
Yeah, no, our spine of the team is very good. If you take into consideration that Sam Sargent has been outstanding for us this year, really, really good for us in goal, one of the top goalkeepers in this league. He makes a mistake tonight, as goalkeepers, any mistake, he gets punished. He's been really good. Darragh Leahy, Grant Horton have been outstanding. You know, the centre of the park, Harvey McAdam is growing. Rowan McDonald is a really, really talented footballer for us. Ben McCormick, coming back to his old club tonight, puts in a real shift for us. And like you said, Padraig Amond up top, he's just relentless in terms of his work rate, his effort, his honesty, you know. And he makes the difference in both boxes, he really, really does. And he's clever, he's an experienced player. And you can see how in tune his body is to the game, but how in tune his brain is to the game.
I'm massively oversimplifying. You look well drilled, but not only that, you have players all over the pitch who can take their opponents on, who can dribble, who can move, who can pass, who can do it all. They're not just about getting them behind the ball and putting in a shift. They can do that, but they're about so much more from what we've seen tonight.
Yeah, and that's been the way it's been for large parts of the season so far. So we've got solidity. We've got boys that want to defend, relish defending. We're disappointed to give up a clean sheet tonight. We've kept back-to-back clean sheets prior to tonight, and we do have a counter-attack, cutting edge with our wide players, with our front players. We've got some very offensive players, so yeah, listen, we're disappointed not to have won tonight, but I suppose when you come here against St. Pat's, you know, top side in this league, won the cup last year, European team from last season, wouldn't be expected to get Europe at a minimum this year, to come here to feel disappointed coming away with only a point, I think that's a measure of how we played tonight.
And finally, we'll only get a fleeting glimpse at him, unfortunately. Romeo is off to Southampton in the summer. Great move for him. It seems like it's a good deal for the club as well, but he looks like he's going to be a special talent. Well, he already is.
Yeah, and it's difficult for a young player to come into a game with, you know, in the moment that he did tonight. He gave the ball away a couple of times, but he also showed glimpses of the potential that he's got. You know, he's a talent. He's one of the players that have come through the academy at Waterford. He's probably the first player that's come through. You know, Mike Egan deserves great credit for what he's done down in the academy at Waterford, along with all the other coaches, for developing the likes of Romeo. We've got Jason Healy, an underage international. We've got Adam Queeley as well, on the fringes of the first team that are coming through. Waterford produce footballers, don't they? It's a county that's always produced footballers. So long may that continue. Long may it continue that we have a vibrant, thriving academy with young players given the opportunity to play in the first team. Romeo would like more minutes, there's no doubt about it, but we've got to balance that off with being competitive, trying to get wins under our belt, trying to put points on the board. And listen, our season has gone okay so far, and we wish Romeo well in the next phase of his career when that time comes. But for now, we look forward to working with him.
Cheers, Keith.
Thanks, man.
John Daly, St. Pat's manager, a 1-1 draw at home to Waterford. What are your thoughts on the game? What are your thoughts on the performance?
Yeah, I think in this league, the first goal is always massively important. I thought the first half, I thought we were poor, to be honest with you. And I thought second half, we were a little bit better, but we never really tested Sargent enough. That being said, I don't think Danny Rogers was tested an awful lot either. So yeah, disappointed to come away with a draw. I think we've left 2 points behind.
It's pretty much immediately after the game, but is the really disappointing thing that you didn't create a whole pile of chances even when you made that treble substitution, got the goal and then seemed to get on top?
Yeah, well, I think the three lads that came on linked up for the goal, for Chris getting a shot, and then obviously Brandon follows in on the rebound, and as you said, the momentum then you feel is going to swing your way. But I just thought we probably lacked a little bit of discipline in our positioning and our shape, and we're obviously trying to get messages on to players, and it's disappointing that we didn't then go for the jugular and get the 3 points.
Is it just about playing that bit more together? And we forget that, you know, it's only 11-12 games into the league. You're now 5 unbeaten, 2 of those games were victories. And it takes a while to kind of get those 90-minute performances regardless of what team you pick and what way you set them out.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, but we still obviously expect to play well. We still expect you know, that the lads that are on the pitch will combine and perform. And I think you know, we didn't hit the levels that we would have liked. I think players that are usually, you know, 7, 8 out of 10 probably you know, were sixes today, and it's just, you know, you can't have that many players off the game if you're going to win it.
It's Derry away on Monday night. You couldn't ask for a tougher fixture within the space of 4 days.
Yes, I think every game is tough in this league. I think obviously Derry away, it's a tough venue, but it's one that we'll be well prepared for, and we'll obviously go and try and win the game.
Do you have to prepare for them to react to their defeat to Rovers tonight? Obviously you haven't seen it, but they'll be angry, they'll be wanting to bounce back.
Yeah, and we're trying to bounce back and get a win ourselves. So no, it'll be two good teams going to try and win the game, and I'm sure they'll be disappointed with the result tonight, and we're obviously disappointed only taking a point, but I don't think either team tonight done enough to take 3.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that is all the reaction from Richmond Park, where St. Pat's and Waterford drew 1-1. Let's go to Eamon DC Park, where Galway United got a massive 1-0 victory against Shelburne. This is the reaction of Shell's manager, Damien Duff. He was speaking to LOI TV.
Disappointing result, obviously. I think what disappoints me more is the manner of the performance. Going off that, you'd have to say Galway deserved to win the game just on energy, application, having a point to prove. Whereas our guys maybe just thought we'll turn up and we'll turn Galway over. They were warm before the game, but they obviously didn't listen.
You started quite well initially, and it was maybe similar to the game in Talca perhaps, but then Galway grew into it with the goal before half-time.
Yeah, listen, outside of A's, not even a chance, an opportunity off the bar that was given to them by awful defending, by disrespecting opposition, and obviously the goal as well, just an awful, awful goal, and Sunday Park football would be awful. Outside of that, yeah, you have to try to set pieces Galway, but we felt in control. We obviously had an awful lot of possession on a difficult pitch, but it's always going to be hard to get back in the game against a John Caulfield side after going 1-0 down. But like I said, just on energy, enthusiasm and want alone, Galway, 3 points, well done.
You made a number of changes in the second half, trying to come into the game, but Galway, the crowd was big, everything. It was a difficult game.
Difficult game. You can obviously see there's a bit of edge at the end, a bit of a scuffle. Yeah, here at 5 subs, I probably would have made 10 if I could. But, yeah.
Back up the road now in a huge, huge game on Monday.
Yeah, and, you know, as I was just speaking to Darren there, or Damien, the coaches, you know, what are they going to do to motivate the players? Players should motivate themselves. You don't need fancy videos. You don't need fancy pep talks. Motivate yourselves.
Thank you, Damien.
Best Thank you.
A second defeat in a row for Shelburne, losing 1-0 to Galway United. Before we go to the showgrounds, where Sligo Rovers and Dundalk drew 1-1, let's head to Dalymount Park. Bohemians beating Drogheda by 1-0. ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara was there, and afterwards, he sent us this voice note.
Hi Oisín, and it's 3 successive league wins for Bohemians, and it's 3 successive battling league wins in that respect, as they moved from 8th place into 2nd place in the space of 7 days, and they're only 2 points behind leader Shelburne, who are enduring a bit of a rocky period at the moment. James Akintunde's 4th goal of the season in the 15th minute proved enough, as he slotted home from Luke Matheson's pullback. Drogheda were often the architects of their own downfall, really, with plenty of careless errors in the ball, presenting Bowes opportunities in the first half. Bowes almost doubled their lead then through Declan McDay, but he shot narrowly wide after Casper Traska's long goal kick. Just Drogheda made a mess of it then after that, and Dale Rooney slipped in the Scot, but the ball was just a little bit too far ahead of him, and he, on the stretch, he pulled it just wide. Drogheda came into the second half, to be fair to them, and substitute Franz Pirro came off the bench, and he was a real threat, to be fair. He forced Casper Traska into a couple of smart saves. Bowes weren't without their chances either, with Dale Rooney and Philip Piszek off the bench being denied by some strong Drogheda defending, and it was a nervy end for Bowes, with Drogheda substitute Killian Calois having a header cleared off the line late on with his first touch since coming on. But Bowes held on, to be fair, and it's 4 wins in 5 for Alan Reynolds' side so far, and it's back-to-back home wins, 3 wins in the space of 7 days. And while none of them have been particularly pretty, there is a battling spirit in this Bowes side, and you could really hear it a full time, with many of the Jodie stand staying in attendance till the very end and clapping the team off with a rousing reception at the end. So Bowes, all of a sudden, looking in trouble after losing at home to Waterford 2 weeks ago, seem to be on the right track once again, and they're into the top 3, they're 2nd place, and things seem to be looking up at the moment for them. Meanwhile, Drogheda came in after 4 successive draws. They're rooted in the relegation playoff place with only 1 win in their first 10 games. Again, it was a tight game. Drogheda performed well in the second half, but like most of their games, they're just not quite getting the most out of the games, and their performances aren't quite yielding the points that perhaps Kevin Doherty feels they deserve. Full time here at Dalymount Park, Bohemians 1, Drogheda United 0.
ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara reporting from Dalymount Park, where Bowes beat Drogheda by 1-0. Let's go to the showgrounds, where Sligo Rovers drew 1-1 with Dundalk. ExtraTime.com's Donal Ryan, who also commentates for Ocean FM and LOI TV, was there, and afterwards he was joined by a friend, and they sent us this voice note.
Thanks, Oisín. And yes, full time here in the showgrounds has finished. Sligo Rovers 1, Dundalk 1. And it's Donal Ryan here doing commentary this evening on the game along with Declan Boyle. And Declan, we have to say, on the balance of the game this evening, I think a draw is a fair result.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we take the chances that were created, Donal on the night, I mean, the keeper probably wasn't worked enough. The goalkeepers weren't worked enough. But yeah, listen, a wonderful goal by Fries Hartman. And they picked it up, and it's worth watching for sure. Anybody listening to this is worth watching that goal. I mean, he was really, really good tonight, really positive, and he caused real problems down the right hand side, Dundalk's left hand side. But that time he picked up the ball, drove inside, and just when you thought he was going to take another touch, he goes and hits one, and just for me, it dips, and there's a wee bit of everything on it, and it flies into the top corner. It's a wonderful, wonderful goal, and probably the quality of that goal, you're expecting them to go on to win the game, Sligo Rovers. But Ferdinand Dock, after they conceded, they came back into the game again. The game got a wee bit stretched from Sligo Rovers' perspective, and that obviously allowed the space for Dundalk to come back into the game. But we know the quality Dundalk have. We're just looking through their squad of players. They are sitting now in, is it 5 points now? Is it 4 points? Is it 5 points? And you know, you're looking at them, the results have been good. Performance tonight was good. They're fully supportive of Burnsy and the manager and Gartland as well, and they've done really, really well tonight. Good performance. Second half they came out probably, as I was saying to you in commentary, I think that John Russell would have said, okay, the first 10 minutes make sure we start well, it's like a Rover start well, and that wasn't the case. I think we gave away a soft penalty a wee bit to Dundalk, and they ended up scoring a one each and giving them a wee bit of momentum in the game, and from that they drove forward, and for the last 20 minutes it was end to end, transition to transition. The quality wasn't good in the last third, and the final ball was poor, but you have to say, for excitement levels, both teams went at it, they gave it everything, and it was a really, really good, entertaining second half, and probably a draw was a fair result, don't you say?
Yeah, on for Bruce Hartman's goal, an absolutely spectacular strike from outside the box that found the top left corner. But questions will be asked about George Shelvey again.
Yeah, listen, man, it's one of those ones, you know. I don't like criticising keepers because I don't know enough about it, but you know, he hits it really, really well. Probably might have seen it late. I think it came through a few of the Dundalk bodies, and he comes a wee bit late, but it's a wonderful strike, and maybe from that distance he maybe should have done better. But well, let's be positive, and we'll give the positivity to Fabrice Hartman on this one. I won't blame the goalkeeper, but yeah, listen, it's a wonderful goal, and Fabrice was excellent tonight. Came off injured in the middle of the second half, and hopefully he's okay for Monday night, because we need that sort of quality, and he was really, really good tonight. But listen, there was really good performances on both teams tonight. I thought on our left hand side as well, Reece Hutchinson was excellent, and it was a real, real cat and mouse with him and Darrell Horgan, who was looking to go forward, but both of them ended up going forward and back, and forward and back. It was a real, real entertaining down that side. And Dundalk were really good tonight. You know, they obviously didn't get a good start, but tonight I thought they were very, very good. They had good energy, and they grew into the game after getting the penalty kick. But it was a really entertaining game. Just the only thing that was missing probably was that final ball, wee bit of quality top end of the pitch. But overall, entertainment value was really, really good to be here and to watch it, and supporters will go away happy, I would say.
Yeah, Dundalk, as we mentioned, the tide is starting to turn around their performances, and I'd say they can consider themselves unlucky not to have come away with a win this evening. Still searching for that first win of the season.
Yeah, that's probably the disappointing aspect from a point of view of the management. Looked at the performance is good enough. Well, Donal, we went through their teams before, and you look through their teams, their quality in that Dundalk squad, you know. So I think it's a false position for me of the quality of players they have. If you can keep everybody fit and well, tonight's performance is very, very good, you know, and they're very positive. And they have players that can win the game for them, and they've got real quality up front as well. So listen, it's one of those ones. We know how hard it is going to be. It's one of those ones, you know. Our next games, we obviously tonight we've Dundalk, Monday night we've got Galway, we've Waterford as well coming, you know, so we have teams with Drogheda as well coming. We, you know, there are four or five teams that you would think that's going to be down near the bottom scrapping for their lives, and it's going to be exciting the whole way to the very, very end. And you know, if you won two or three games, you're in third or second, and if you lose two or three, you could be down near the bottom, and that's the way the season has gone so far. It's very up and down, but it's about that consistency, and can you get the ones rather than draws. And at the moment Dundalk are just struggling to get that one, and we'll want to get one, they'll probably go on to one, two or three ones in a trot. But yeah, listen, for Sligo Rovers, it's a good positive start. Now we need a big result now against Galway at home, because it's an important away games, as we know, are really, really difficult at the minute in the Premier League. So your home form is the most important thing, and it's really, really important that we get 3 points against Galway now on Monday night.
Yeah, Sligo Rovers straight back into it on Monday night for the first Connacht derby of the season. Galway United making the trip to the Showgrounds on Monday night, while Dundalk's search for the first win of the season continues. Full time here in the Showgrounds, Sligo Rovers 1, Dundalk 1.
Well, that's almost it for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. Let's just run through the First Division scores before we go. Bray Wanderers 2, Tréhe United 1, Cove Ramblers 2, Finn Harps 0, Kerry 1, Athlone Town 2, and Wexford 2, UCD 3. We'll go to the Premier Division table in just a moment, but before we do, here is what the First Division table looks like. Cork City, 4 points clear, but with a game in hand on UCD. They're on 22 points. UCD second on 18. Finn Harps third on 18. Bray Wanderers fourth on 15. Wexford fifth on 15. Athlone 6th on 15, Treaty United 7th on 12, Cove Ramblers 8th on 10, Kerry 2nd from bottom on 9, and Longford bottom of the pile on 4 points. And I'm sure if you care that much, you know what the Premier Division table looks like now. Well, we'll go through it anyway. Shelburne on 21 points, Bohemians 2nd on 19 points, Shamrock Rovers warming up, their 3rd on 18 points. And they have a game in hand on Shelburne and Bowes. Derry City 4th on 16 points. St Pat's 5th on 15 points. Galway 6th on 14 points. Sligo Rovers 7th on 13 points. Waterford 8th on 13 points. Drogheda 9th on 8 points. And Dundalk bottom of the table on 5 points. But they did get a morale boosting draw away to Sligo Rovers. And there are fixtures on Monday night. Sligo Rovers hosting Galway United. Derry City up against St Pat's. And Shelburne welcoming Shamrock Rovers. That's such a big game. Well, it always is, but it's especially big now after the last couple of weeks and the dip that Shelburne have had. We will have an extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast after those games on Monday night, by the way. Tomorrow, by the way, it is the Avenir Sports Women's All-Ireland Cup. Linfield taking on Bowes, Shelburne up against Cork City, Wexford taking on Cliftonville Ladies, Shamrock Rovers up against Deelore Waves, Galway United playing Glentoran Women, and Athlone Town taking on Sligo Rovers. In the first division, Longford Town host Cork City. And just before we go, I was sent a link by Aoife Mullen, who is hosting the St. Pat's watch along on the St. Pat's app tonight. There will be, by the way, another watch along on the St. Pat's app on Monday night. So if you can't watch the game for whatever reason, you can get live coverage on that. You can use it as a radio service because it's live commentary, and you know, we get contributions from experts and whatever on the game. But anyway, that's a change of subject. What she actually sent me a link to was John Fallon of the Irish Examiner story that Noel King is being linked with Dundalk. Now, I have to say that's a surprise to me. I didn't know he was in the running. I thought he was done as a manager in the League of Ireland, but maybe he isn't. Now, this is a man who's done tremendous things in the League of Ireland. I'm not sure that's a move that the Dundalk fans will welcome. I think they'll see it maybe as a backward step, but I could be wrong. And they could be wrong. And Noel King has a tremendous knowledge of football. And I would say there isn't a thing about the League of Ireland he doesn't know. So we'll see what happens there. Right, that's it from me. As I say, an extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast coming on Monday evening / Tuesday morning, reacting to Monday's games. If you can like, review, rate, subscribe and all of that kind of stuff, that would really help us out. And you can do that on no matter what platform you listen to this podcast on. I'll talk to you after the weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.